I understand that I have a friend that lost her husband to that. As simple as that is, they were not up to 1 year married, you know, and I just noticed she wasn't hallelujah, this is tempting. 2 minutes, so yeah, come forward. Hallelujah. I will stand. I will even stand beside you.
Praise the Lord. Like my sister rightly said, we should thank God for everything and everything. Sometimes we get carried away by the things around us. I think what I've come to learn in this last few months, years of my life is that you should take your eyes off the issue and just thank God as if He has done it. And you will see that He will just do it. And me, I don't know, maybe it's an act of ingratitude. But when that thing is now done, I really can't say thank you enough. But when you say thank you when you haven't seen the thing, that is when God will appreciate it well, I guess, appreciate it most. So when the thing is now done, He will now do much more. Anyway, let me just say this one. There are so many things. So if you want to hear my stories, please wait, see me after the service. But I want to tell somebody here today that they will break protocol for you. What they have said, it is impossible. They will break it for you. Very briefly, let me say this. I was in the UK 2 weeks ago. I was about to check out of my hotel. I was in school. I was about to check out. And then, normally I spend 5 days, but of course, because of the children, I've been repeating the class and repeating. So I eventually spent about 11 days. As I was at the checkout, I was meant to check out the next day. I was at the reception. I saw some Nigerian guys talking. He wanted to pay for his room. And then I overheard them saying, if you spend 15 days, you will pay an amount. So I went to the guy who was in charge, and I said to him that, Nikos, I've been here for 11 days. Say, no, Jumoke. You need to be here you need to have paid in advance, and you need to spend 15 days. As I was speaking to him, the duty manager, he hardly comes. I see him like maybe once in a week. The guy just walked past. He now said, okay, wait, let me talk to the manager. He now went to the manager and said to him, the lady has been here. You know what the guy said? He said, rebook the reservation. What I was meant to pay full price for, I paid less than half price. And they booked me for 15 days. Listen, no, I was meant to leave after 11 days. I still held their room for 4 days. They broke protocol for me. It might not sound so much. It might not sound big to you. But it was a big deal to me because I would have paid the full amount. But God made them. If you know Igbo people, they will tell you, I'm afraid. I can't do anything about it. I'm afraid. But this one, they broke protocol. I'm telling somebody here today, if you want, you can hold it. If you want, you can leave it. Kule, hold it. They will break protocol for you in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we can just close service. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, for someone who probably doesn't understand what rebooking and all that means, I'm sure if you convert the money she didn't have to pay back into Naira, her husband will appreciate it a lot, you know. And God, you know, God is good and is working mightily in our midst. If you probably feel, Pastor, me, I'm not seeing it. Probably you are not paying attention enough, because I know and I'm assured in my heart that things are happening. Hallelujah. And like they said, if you want to hear more, you can see them, because sometimes I just have some privilege to hear some things that everybody does not hear. So please see them. Just spend a couple of time with them to know what actually happened. I want to know, you know. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Very quickly, we'll just continue with what we started last week. Amen. I'm not sure. I'm on that level. I would have wanted to start. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week we started looking at the topic giving, the issue of giving. Amen. And I particularly said that There has been a lot of misconception concerning giving. Probably not in our midst, but all around you hear different and so many things about giving. And I promise that this will be a two-part message. And last week we focused on the fact that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because the average human, the average man, the average, let me extend it to the average Nigerian, hallelujah, has this mindset, this, you know, set mode in his head that I need to receive. Hallelujah. And the way God wired man, or the way or God's intention is that man should be someone who is committed to giving rather than receiving. And there was a twat in that idea when man fell in the garden, and man was subject to a life of working hard. And because of that, man feels that I have worked and I have earned this much, so I cannot afford to give, you know, at just every instance and all that. You know, so, but we see from scriptures that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. And I said that God has been teaching man from that point in time on this issue of giving. Amen. The first instance where man was going to offer something to God, God used it to teach a lesson, which was Cain and Abel, and we looked at that also. How God accepted Abel's offering, because he brought the best of his product, of his animal to God. Hallelujah. Cain probably just brought something. Amen. And we also saw from the law how God has been, you know, God gave them the law and told them how they will be given a tithe, a tenth of their product. And I also mentioned that in giving, God even further commanded them that when you have to harvest, you should make sure you remain something on the field so that those who are poor can walk in there at any time to have their field. Amen. God was teaching man that you need to give. You need to be a giver. Hallelujah. You shouldn't be someone who is just, you know, you're just stiff-handed. You just hold everything back. Stingy and, you know, all about me. I just want to keep everything. And I also said that even when God was feeding them with manna, God told them, when you go there to gather, just gather a little, just each gather a, let me use the word bucket, for every individual, such that, you know, by the time when you consume, some will probably eat more, some will not eat more, but you share what you have, so that the one who has gathered little who wouldn't have gathered too little, the one who have gathered much wouldn't have gathered too much, because, you know, there's a complementing. Hallelujah. And I said how some people, despite that, decided to gather much and keep until the next day. What happened by the next day? The whole manna was rotten, filled with maggot and smelly. A lesson to show that man is not even created to be a reservoir of his wealth. You are supposed, the wealth and all that God gives to you is supposed to be dispensed, to share, to meet the needs and to meet the needs of people around you, to help people move from that level where they are to the next level. Hallelujah. So God has been teaching on the issue of giving. And I said the final lesson God had to teach us about giving was when he gave his son to die on our behalf. Hallelujah. And all we see all scattered all over scriptures how God further instructs you and I, the believer, to be committed to the life Jesus, that we should mirror, that we should be a model of how Jesus was sacrificed for you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll continue this morning. We'll continue this morning. I hope I've, you know, just explained briefly all that we did last week. But you can get the CD. I'm sure it was recorded, as I trust that this will also be recorded. We'll continue this morning. I'll just speak on a couple of points. Then we close on this same issue of giving. Just to give us a right perspective, a right mindset as per giving. As much as possible, it is not my desire to be academic about it. Because beyond being academic, I want you to commit to this act, this grace of giving, so that you can have full benefit of what should come as you commit to it. The man who is committed to spiritual things reaps spiritual benefits. Giving is a spiritual activity, is a spiritual act. And as you commit to it, I want to see the benefit of it in your life. Amen. So as much as possible, I hope I can achieve that, that I will be not, you know, academic, you know, listing points and all that. I'm not so good at that. Anyway, sometimes I try. But just follow me. Follow me and follow the points or the lessons that are in the message as we go on. Hallelujah. Amen. The first point I want to make is that giving is an integral part of the Christian community that reveals the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life for you and I that we might be blessed. It is a sacred act and shouldn't be done for showmanship, competition, or scheming, but for complementing one another and supporting one another for the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll be reading a lot from that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's where we'll start. Giving is an integral part of the Christian community. A good Christian must be committed to giving. A good Christian must love to give. A good Christian must be ready to give at all times. A good Christian must be wired to be a giver. Amen. Because it is integral to our community. It is integral to our to our moving forward as a people of God. Hallelujah. So giving is important. Giving is integral. And what giving does is that it reveals God's grace. Each time you have an opportunity to give, no matter how little, no matter how much, it is another expression. It should be another reminder of how God lovingly gave Christ up for you so that he can better your position. Amen. 2 Corinthians, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Amen. I'll read from Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 11. It says, you will be... No, okay, just permit me. Permit me, hallelujah. I hope I'm in 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read from verse 11. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Hallelujah. Each time you give, it occasions thanksgiving. Amen. No matter how little, no matter how much, whether in the church, whether outside, every opportunity you have to give and you give, it occasions that someone is giving thanks, is rejoicing unto God for providing and meeting his need. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving definitely is beyond probably individual giving. That's giving to someone. It also extends towards giving to the church and all that. Each time you give to the church, it occasions thanksgiving. That, oh, God has used someone to meet a need in the church. Oh, is it to that beggar on the street? Each time you give, I'm sure he may not express it. But by the time he gets on and probably counts all that he has accumulated, it occasions another, oh, thanksgiving. Whether he even takes it as business. Just thank God my business prospered. Amen. Every opportunity you have to give, it gives another, it gives an occasion for the receiver to give thanks. Amen. Beyond the receiver, it even gives us who are teaching, as I said, look, I desire that we walk and we commit to this. To say, oh, our people are walking in giving. They are also enjoying and partaking of this grace of giving. It's like each time I see someone who is growing mature, who is maturing in Christ, my heart rejoices. And he's glad. Oh, he used to do this. Oh, he used to steal. Now he steals no more. The same way when you see someone who has not been given, who is committed to giving, the heart is glad. There's a rejoicing. There's a giving of thanks to God because it just gives, you know, it just gives another opportunity. Amen. It is always an expression of, it's always a show. It always portrays that grace of how God, how Christ was giving up, how Christ gave up his riches to become poor, so that we also would become rich. Amen. So every opportunity you have to give is an occasion to showcase what God has done for you. And it will definitely lead to the praise and to the glorifying of our God. Amen. For that reason, it's even good enough to be committed to giving. For that is laudable enough to be committed to giving. Oh, I will be committed to giving. I will give to this guy because at the end of the day, I'm sure he will give thanks to God for this 10 naira. As small as 10 naira is. Amen. Though there are some executive beggars who will throw 10 naira back at you. Hallelujah. I've seen my mom had given someone, you know, money, and the guy was like, what's this? And he threw it back. Hallelujah. And since that day, my mom swore that, look, this guy, I will not give, not only will I not give, I will encourage people not to give to you. Amen. I still see the guy. I know the guy. Hallelujah. And most times I'm not even encouraged to. Amen. So what's this? And he treat back. That's a heart that is not gracious, that does not appreciate God. Hallelujah. But each moment, each opportunity you have to give, it showcases, it should bring to mind, it showcases, oh, Christ actually gave up his rich position for me, that I might also become rich. Christ sacrificed for me. No matter how little, when you part with something, it's a sacrifice, no matter how little. Christ sacrificed himself for me. So this is worth it. It is worth it that I sacrifice something. Hallelujah. I should say and remind us that giving goes beyond giving just your substance. Hallelujah. We will see more of that as we go on. It goes beyond your substance. It goes beyond giving to individuals. It goes beyond giving to friends, to families, to the poor. It extends to committing to a cause, you know, giving, parting with something. Your time, your service, your money, your skill, whatever it is, you know, you are giving. You are letting go of something to the glory and to the praise of God. Hallelujah. So I said giving is an integral part of the Christian community that reveals the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sacred act and shouldn't be done for showmanship, for competition, or for scheming. We not give because someone has given. No, you, there are times you'll be in an assembly and they say, okay, the first 1,000, the first 10 people to give 1 million, you know. And someone who probably has thought in his mind, I want to give 200,000. Because this guy just stood up to give 1 million, he also jumps up. How can he give 1 million? I'll give 200. No, giving is not for showmanship. It's not for competition. Amen. We'll see as we go further, we'll see it. How it is as you are proposing your heart. It's not for scheming. Let me use this guy to give, you know, 1,000. He doesn't have much. He'll give 10 naira. So I'll use his own. No, it's not for scheming. Each man gives as he wills. But at the end of it, it should be to the praise of God as you give. Amen. Hallelujah. The second point that I'll make is giving should be a willing activity. It begins with a willingness. Should be a willing activity that should be followed up with a doing. Hallelujah. There are times when an occasion to give just shows up. And you say, I wish I could give, or I will to give. And most times we don't follow up with the doing. Amen. But primarily, giving must be willingly. Amen. Giving must be willingly. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, we are seeing 2 Corinthians. We'll read that portion of scripture scatteredly today. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 9. We are still there. Look at verse 7. It says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Each man is supposed to give as he has decided in his heart. Oh, Mr. Aluko, Kula Alu has given 1 million. Considering my status, I should give 1.2. No, it is as you have proposed in your heart. Irrespective of the other man, it is as you have considered within your heart. You probably have checked all your resources and you have considered, this is what I can afford to give. It is as you have considered and thought it out in your heart. It says, not of compulsion. It is not that I am coming to cajole you. You are giving 2 million, whether you like it or not. 2 million. Hallelujah. Amen. So I say, why is he calling millions? Probably we should be operating in that level soon. Hallelujah. Amen. I see some people, you know, they are tapping into it. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 million. He said, 2 million. Say, Pastor, I said I should give 2 million. So I will give. According to the scripture, it is as you have considered in your heart. It should be willing. Willingness does not mean convenient. Hallelujah. Where I have 10 naira, I can only give 1 naira because that is what is convenient. Yes, you are willing. Yes, that is good. Amen. We'll see further. But you should be willing. Say, I have 10 naira, I want to give 5 naira. It's not convenient, but I will to give 5 naira. Amen. It is willing. Most times when you talk about a willingness, people think it really has to be altogether convenient. Amen. Giving does not necessarily or will. We will see it. Hallelujah. Let's look at Exodus chapter 35. This was a period in the life of the people of Israel after God had delivered them from Egypt. Exodus. And God wanted them to build a temple. A temple and the ark. for his worship and his praise. At Exodus chapter 35. Are we there? Okay, just three of us. Amen. Are we in Exodus chapter 35? Okay. We'll check through a couple of... So, you know, God called Moses to assemble the people and he said, okay, this and this and this is what you are going to build and this is how you are going to build it. You need people with this skill. You need people to give towards this. You need these materials for the work to be done. And he said, assemble the people and commit to them. Look at verse 1. Bible says, Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, these are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days, work is to be done, but let's leave that. Look at verse 4. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, that's going to be the next point. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is what? Who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, dyed red, and the list continues. It says, everyone who is willing. Then we read further. Hallelujah. Look at verse 25. It says, every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn of fine linen. 26 says, and all the women who were willing and had the skills spun the goat hair. Hallelujah. Look at 29. All the Israelite men and women who were what? Who were willing brought to the Lord free will offering. For all the work of the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. They came with what they had willingly. Amen. If you check the record, Moses, after some time, Moses had to stop them. He says, you people have given too much. Nobody should bring anything again. Hallelujah. He says, from today, no, don't bring anything again. Because the people, of course, God does not like waste. He didn't want what they gather to waste. Say, okay, thank you very much. We have gathered enough. People came with their skill. People came with their materials. Willingly. Amen. Given should be willingly. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 36. Let me read verse 2. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab. Hallelujah. And every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. Hallelujah. Given us to be willing. Amen. It must be what you do because you will to do it. It must be what you do because you will to do it. And if we look at what we've read, it says, and it should be out of what you have. Amen. Or what you have access to. It says, as they have, they brought. Amen. God does not expect you to go and steal to give to him. Amen. And I think most times the reason why people go that extra mile is because they put calculation to their giving. If I give 10,000, God will multiply it 100-fold. That's how much? 10 times 100. How much is that? 1 million. Yeah? 1 million, Abby. Okay. Hallelujah. So let me go and steal 100,000. Hallelujah. Then God will multiply it by 100. What's that? Yeah? 10 million. That's small. It's small. Hey, let's steal 10 million instead. Hallelujah. Amen. You give according as you have. or as you have access to. Access does not mean what you can purloin. Hallelujah. Access probably is what you have in expectation that you can give. That is why we can say something like a vow is allowed. Because yes, there's an expectation that I will get this and I will pay back as soon as I have it. But giving must be willing and must be according to what you have. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9 again. It says, not grudgingly. Second Corinthians 9. Verse 7 is what we have been reading. It says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't give reluctantly. If you don't want to give, don't give. Amen. It is better to give to not give than to give reluctantly. Amen. Because it accounts to nothing. Amen. Not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. That give for that reason. It will be to the praise of God. God loves someone who gives who gives. Amen. Shouldn't be done reluctantly. Look at chapter 8. Look at chapter 8. Verse 12. Should be done willingly. It says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. There's a willingness, then should be followed up with a giving, but should be according to what you have. Don't give what you don't have. Don't give for the wrong reasons. Amen. Don't give what you don't have access to, what is not in expectation. Don't give, you know, just on the basis of some wrong, you know, just you are putting calculation together and all that. Give according to what you have. Hallelujah. Because God loves a cheerful giver. There might be a willingness to give. I think I should say this. There might be a willingness to give and you do not have. You sincerely really will to give. You do not have. You could propose in your heart that this is what I desire to give and begin working towards it. You don't have to give everything wrong. Amen. There's a will. There's a willingness. Oh, Pastor, I will to give 1 million towards church building. Oh, okay, I should tell him. Towards church building. I don't have it. But because there's a willingness, then you can start working towards it. Hallelujah. Oh, 1 million. If I do 100, 100. That's 10 months. Okay, let me do 10. Because I can't do 100. How many months it will account to? Well, leave that. There's a willingness. Begin committing to it. We will see how, you know, scripture talks about how God will open a door because you have committed to giving. Hallelujah. It says first there's a willingness. Then follow that willingness with a doing. But whatever you are giving, don't give, or give what you have. Amen. Don't let's try to play smart. You know, you're plotting graph and calculation. The reason for giving is because God loves a cheerful giver. Because at the end of the day, this amounts to praise and to the glory of our God. Not because at the end of the day, God is going to multiply my 10,000 to 1 million as we calculated. Hallelujah. I hope to shock some of us that it might not really work that way. 10,000, 1 million, is God a money doubler? Hallelujah. Or a magician. Or Naira bet. Hallelujah. God ain't no Naira bet. 1960, I'll be 1860. Hallelujah. God is not a money spinning machine. But give, there's this guy on radio. The way he advertises it, if you have money immediately, you want to commit to it. God is not a money doubler. So give what you have. Hallelujah. The reason to give is that God loves a cheerful giver. That this would amount to the praise of our God, that I was able to part with, though it's difficult, with 5 naira. It's difficult. It's supposed to be my sweet money, but I'm parting with it. Okay. They say we don't do sweet anymore. Okay, my Maggi money. Hallelujah. But I'm parting with it. God loves a cheerful giver. Let me give. It's showing again an expression of God's sacrifice for me. So I give. And at the end of the day, it is to the praise of his name. Not because we consider God to be a money doubler. 1960 bet. Hallelujah. Amen. And I should also say that giving should be planned. Amen. Giving should be planned. Giving should be a willing activity that should be followed with a doing. And it should be out of what you have or have access to. And it should be planned. Amen. I said earlier and last week how God has been teaching man how to give. And if there's anything that the law teaches us, it is how to give. Amen. It is how to give a tenth of your produce. That is planning. Amen. That is putting consideration to it and saying, I am giving this part of it. It means there's a consideration. There's probably a consideration. And saying, this portion is what I am giving. So that the remaining portion will be used to meet other areas of needs, because God also expects that you are responsible to other things. Amen. So tithing teaches us to plan our giving. Amen. Oh, I am earning this amount and I want to give this portion of it. If you don't put a plan to it, as if you do not say it is this portion, how do you know what portion is left to work with? Oh, it's the day it finishes, you realize, it has finished. Amen. But it should be pre-planned. Amen. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just flip back a little, and we see an example of something like that in the New Testament. And I think this also teaches us that, yeah, you should plan towards giving. And I think 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let me read from verse 1. I'll read verse 1 and 2. It says, now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should do what? Should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. Hallelujah. They were gathering money for the people in Jerusalem because there was famine. So Paul said, look, from this point on, you can actually start setting aside a portion that you will give when I come. So it's not when I come. You say, I wish I could give 10,000. But you've used it to eat fish and shawarma. So, hallelujah. But he says, start setting aside something. Amen. So giving should be planned. I will to give these amounts. You can plan towards it. And I think part of what Paul was doing was actually help them to create an opportunity to give right, to give well at the point in time when they have to give. In the same way here, part of what we do is to say, okay, we are dividing ourselves into groups so that at the end of the month, just drop something and talk to your group leader that I have dropped something. If you desire that the leader should not know the amounts, just tell him I have dropped something. Amen. Because it has to be willing. Amen. Systems could be set at different times to help us to give well. If what we have is not working for you, come and see us. We will help you set a scheme and a way where you are committed to this giving. It should be planned. Don't just give on impulse. Sometimes that is good, sometimes it is not good. Hallelujah. But give because there's a plan to it, because you have carefully probably checked your income and there's a plan to it. You are saying, I am giving this portion. Oh, you desire to give so much, but you can't afford it, you can start planning, start setting aside. It's possible. There should be a willingness, there should be a desire. So Paul helps them to set a system. He says, okay, weekly, every probably the beginning of every week, every Monday or every Saturday or every Sunday, one of you should be the one collecting from everybody. This is what I have. This is what I have. It may look little, but by the time I come, I will now gather everything. Then we will send someone to take it to Jerusalem. Giving should be planned. Amen. Hallelujah. The next point that I want to make is probably an area that everybody, a lot of people, you know, this is where people misunderstand the issue of giving. Where they say, I will sow this to reap that. Hallelujah. Your giving sets you up for a divine supply, which is not determined by your calculation, your preparation, or hard work. Hallelujah. God has set a principle in motion to help you to reward your giving. The principle of sowing and reaping is there. Amen. If you like, agree. If you like, don't agree. If you sow, you will reap. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking all over. If you sow, you will reap. By the way, that portion of scripture was not even talking about when you give, you know, I give 10 naira. God will take it, he will press it down, then he will overfill it. And make, God, it wasn't even in line with that. It was telling them, look, whatever action you used to do to someone, he will do the same back. I have a friend who used to say, when he was young, his grandmom would say, Omo Iso, you know, their dad was a Muslim, Omo Iso, Wonkokun, you know, that's fill it up. God will return it back to you. His grandmom used to say, oh, this child is wicked. Do it well. Don't worry. God will repay you back. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving, sowing and reaping is a principle that exists. Sowing and reaping is a principle that we cannot deny. Sowing and reaping is a principle of God, or by God, that cuts across whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. Amen. So the law is there. The law exists. No, I'm not talking about the Mosaic law. The law of sowing and reaping. Or let me use the word, the principle of sowing and reaping. It exists. It is there. Hallelujah. But I said it is not based on your calculation. I give 10,000, I want to make 1 million. No, it is not based on calculation. For those who do money betting, you can actually calculate what you are going to get based on what you give. Because they have an indices of multiplication. If what you are betting on is going to happen, then you get this. You can put a calculation to it. God does not reward or does not have you reap based on your calculation. Yeah, but Bible says 100-fold, 60-fold, and thank God it did not stop at just 100-folds. So how do you determine whether it is 60-folds or 40-folds or 100-folds or even 1,000-folds? It is not based on your calculation. It is not based on your preparation. Now we dance like this, I will package it like this, so that as I give it, you know, God, it is not based on all that. Hallelujah. Neither is it based on your hard work. Each time you give, it is not the result of your hard work, in quote, that God uses to reward you. Hallelujah. Let's look at scriptures. That is not to deny that you need to work, and you need to work hard. Ephesians talks says, let those who steal no more, but that they should work with their hands so that they are able to give unto those who have need. Amen. So it's not a denial of working or working hard. But what I'm saying is the return or the reaping is not based on that. It is something divine. Something supernatural. Something God himself set up. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We read from verse 7 this time. We'll read through. We've been looking at that portion of scripture. From verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Hallelujah. Says when you give, God is able to return. When you sow, God is able to help you to reap. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Because you give generously, because you give bountifully, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. If it is grace, you are not the one who determines it. If God is making his grace abound towards you, then it's not based on your working. It is not based on your calculation and effort. It says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that in all things and at all times, having all that you need. Hallelujah. Sometimes we calculate, God, I gave a seed of 10 naira to land and building. So that when I start to build my own, you will send someone to give me 1,000 naira. Please just put it aside. No one knows how God rewards, but God shows up. Amen. Such might be one of the testimony that was given today of how a rebate was given, something that was not planned. You are supposed to be having a budget spending of 10,000 naira, but you realize at the end of the month when you calculate, it's actually running into like 100,000 naira. You wonder how. It is God showing up. Amen. Sometimes it comes in favor. Sometimes it comes with someone just putting, you know, just coming and saying, "How much you take?" Or someone just coming and giving you exactly what you are thinking in your mind to buy. Sometimes it just comes as someone meeting your need. Amen. I'll try not to use examples so that I don't put things in people's head. Say, Pastor, there was this day I gave this, and as I was going, someone gave me that. Look, forget all examples. Forget those testimonies and lay hold of the principle that God is also able to make with all grace abound towards you, meeting your need as you have a need. Amen. Meeting your needs. Look at verse 8 again. He says, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It now extends to even having a basket of good works to show for it. Abounding into living a righteous life. So we are not even just talking about the supplies, the physical things that come because you give. But the place where God is also, you know, is also opening an opportunity for you to live righteously. He's opening an opportunity to live out the life that he has given unto you. He's opening an opportunity for you to even give more. Hallelujah. He says, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. You know what it means to scatter? Most times when we talk about the parable of the sower, we think the man went and said, this seed is good, I'm planting this. Then he goes to the bad soil, says, this soil is bad, I'm planting this. No, the man actually scattered. Amen. Hallelujah. If God is the one scattering, so put away your calculator. Your calculation, put it away. Says he has scattered his gift abroad to the poor. He scatters as he wills. It comes to you because you are faithful. He scatters as he wills. He's able to make all grace abound. It's not about you. It's about the one who holds everything. It's about the one who scatters. Amen. So that what lands on you, it meets your need. Why? Because you are committed to giving. Says he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Verse 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Hallelujah. There's a difference between seed and bread. Hallelujah. Bread is what you consume. One. Seed is what multiplies. Amen. Say, he's the one who supplies seed to the sower. He is also the one who supplies bread for the eater. Let's put it this way. He's the one who meets your immediate daily needs. He's the one who also is able to create for you an opening, an opportunity where you begin to be able to not just meet your need, but to also meet the needs of others. Hallelujah. The one with the seed plants and he has more. The one with bread just eats and he destroys. If I'll put it this way, I'll say the one with fish, he eats fish once and that is all. The one who knows how to fish will constantly have fish in his boat to consume and to give out. Hallelujah. He's saying, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He's a God who can supply seed to the sower. He can supply a divine, you know, an idea that would, oh God, that would enlarge your coast. He can supply an opportunity that would just open a door. Hallelujah. He says he's the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The one who meets your daily need. Your daily need. He says he's also, will also supply and increase what? Your store of seed. Not your bread. God is ready to bless you beyond your imagination. He's ready to open a door, not just to meet your daily need. He says your store of seed. Not your store of bread. You know, a store of bread is where you keep what you want to consume immediately. Saying a store of seed where you keep what you generate something more. He's able to take care and make that your business, you know, prosper. He's able to expand and enlarge your coast, your business beyond your understanding. Hallelujah. Says, and will enlarge and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Will also enlarge your ability and your commitment to doing right. You realize that your giving is not even just reaping for you financial and things that will benefit you and probably those around you and all that, but it's also yielding to your living the life that God has given you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The harvest of your righteousness. The more you just realize that you are doing right, you are doing well, your opportunities are coming for you, and you are just doing the things that God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. It says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's the point. That's a point I want you to see. Say, so that you can be generous on every occasion. Hallelujah. God is not going to enlarge your coast, your store, and all that because he wants you to have a reservoir of seeds. Amen. He wants you to be a channel of blessing. Say, so that you can be generous on every occasion. As the occasion comes for you to give, you are generous at it. You are giving generously. As every occasion shows up, you are giving towards it. Says he's going to, you are going to be so. Hallelujah. says you will be made rich in every way. So as the occasion comes, you are committed to it. As the occasion comes, you are committed to it. It will keep enlarging you so that you can be generous to give more. Amen. The man who is committed to giving will definitely and most likely have occasion and opportunity to give more, because God will continue to bless him to give more. If you had a capacity of giving 1,000 before, and somehow God would open an opportunity for you to give more. And when you step into that opportunity as it comes, bet me, the Lord will expand your coast. It would expand your store. Some of us are still where we are because we have limited ourselves to the calculation of this is what I can afford and this is what I give. Amen. Says, it talks about giving generously. KJV says sparingly and bountifully. Giving sparingly and giving bountifully. Amen. Giving the size of what you give is not determined by the amount of what you bring. Amen. When Jesus spoke to the woman, when Jesus spoke about the widow woman, where we say widow's mite. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. It's not about how much. Say, I have brought 10,000, he has brought 100 naira. So I have given more than he has given. Amen. Jesus debunked it that you do not look at it based on the figure. He says those Pharisees, he says they came and they gave out of their plenty. But this woman gave out of her nothing. She gave something. The size of your giving, the bountifulness of your giving will be determined by the size of your willingness to part with it, to sacrifice of what you have. You don't just put a calculation. You know, remember I said willingness does not mean convenience. You don't just do a calculation. I can give 10,000 naira because 90,000 naira will meet all the rest of my need. You may actually not be giving bountifully. Maybe that's why some of us are still where we are. We need to start giving bountifully towards the work of God, to people around us, to things around us. We need to dispose that sparing giving disposition and begin to, just give bountifully. Have a bountiful account of giving. Amen. Don't be too calculative. Or rather, that is not it. Don't be too dependent on that bread. Amen. Let your dependency be on the one who supplies the bread. Pastor, it's only 30,000. It can't even cover my transport. So, and you want me to... No, don't be too dependent on that 30,000. 30,000. How much is 30,000? 30,000 is something. But don't be dependent. Even 1 million. 1 million. Hallelujah. Let me take you to houses where you pay like 10 million naira as rent. So don't be dependent on the size. Put your dependence on the one who supplies the bread. And is able to even not just give you bread, but give you seed. Says he's able to, give that you have a harvest of store. Harvest of seed, as a store of seed. Amen. So let's move from that level where we are overly dependent on our figures. I put figure to it. But rather, look at the need and commit to it on the basis of the need. Be bountiful in your giving. Don't give sparingly. Don't give, you know, with, this is why I can spare. Don't give God like, this is why I can spare. You know, someone comes to, you know how you give to beggars. I don't have change. This is why I can spare. The 10 naira, the 20 naira, there's 1,000 in the back pocket. No, I can't spare that. No. Don't put God on that level. Give to him according to the need. And depend on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. For the sake of time, I think I should stop. But because I'm not going to continue this series, we'll just see one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 5. This is the most important of all the points, or this is as important as all the other points. Permit me, because I have taken your time. I'm sure the testimonies also took your time and you enjoyed it. Hallelujah. So permit me just 3 more minutes. Samuel, please come and play something solemnly as I round off. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me read from verse 1. Says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Oh, sorry. I'm reading verse 8. Sorry. Verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. The Macedonian church was poor. If they looked at their income, they weren't supposed to give anything. If they looked at the size of what they were earning, they weren't supposed to give anything. Because by calculation, there will be no money left for transport, even to go to work. But they looked at the need. It says their extreme poverty. It says their joy and extreme poverty. It says it welled up to rich generosity. They were willing to give bountifully. Verse 3 says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able. They first put a calculation. Pam, 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 pam. I would be needing just 25,000. And they gave out of the remaining, out of what they were able. Look at it. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able. He says, and even beyond their ability, even beyond what they could give, they had to squeeze. Oh, they ate into their own calculation for the sake of the need at hand. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They pleaded, let us also partake. Let us also be part of this giving, this act of giving, this grace of giving. Let us also be part of it. They want to raise 30 million. Pastor, I don't have 1 million. Neither do I have 500,000 or 1,000. What I have is 15,000. Please let me be a part of it. It doesn't matter the size. They want it. Just let's be part of it. Don't let the size of people's money deny you the opportunity to give. Say they are giving 1 million. How can I go up there? And just don't announce what you are giving. But give it. It's 15 naira. Give it. Amen. Look at verse 5, where I'm going. It says, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. Says it wasn't even so much about what they were parting with, but first they gave themselves to the Lord. That is where giving must start from. You must be yielded to God. You must give yourself to God. It's not about the size. You say, Pastor, I've worked, I've labored, and you come with some pride in your heart, and you just say, oh yeah, Pastor. You know, I've heard people say, by the time I go there and slap the man of God with 10 million naira, hallelujah. Well, come with 10 million naira, we will accept it willingly. We will accept it gracefully. But it still doesn't stop the fact that your heart is not pure. He says you should first give yourself willingly. We will accept it, then we will sit you down and teach you how you should be graceful in giving. Hallelujah. No, we won't turn it away because it will meet the needs of people and it will do the work of the ministry. We won't turn it away, but we will sit you down. Hallelujah. And teach you about the grace of giving. That, look, this man, you have missed it. You are first supposed to give yourself. Beyond the size, beyond the amount, beyond that act of giving, it starts with first yielding yourself. Yielding yourself to God. Yielding yourself to the work of the ministry, yielding yourself to the person of the Holy Spirit to take full charge and control of your life. It starts with you. Before the seed, before the seed, it starts with you. Empty your heart, commit yourself, empty yourself, pour yourself before God, and expose all of you. Come as you are. It begins with you yielding yourself unto God. Then we now talk about your seed. Paul said, we seek you, not yours. All that we do is about you. It's not yours. It's not about how much you will drop tomorrow. We are not preaching this message so that tomorrow we expect that, you know, you just come and you go and sell all your land and your property, like in the book of Acts, and you come and submit at the apostles' feet. No, it's not about that. It's about you. We are preaching this message so that you can also benefit of this grace of giving. The way I desire that you walk and live in righteousness, I desire also that you fulfill this calling, this service of giving, because it abounds to so many things for you. Amen. We seek you, not yours. It's about you. It's about you yielding yourself first. When you are yielded, then your seed can follow. Then it will be graciously accepted before the Lord. It will be a true expression of God's grace towards us. How Christ of his will went to the cross for our sins, that we also who are poor might become rich. It's about you. Then it will amount unto thanksgiving unto the Lord. The Lord has used another brother to give for the useful need of the ministry, for the fulfilling of the work of the ministry, for the setting out and set and meeting the needs of people. but it's about you first. Yield yourself to God. Give yourself over to Him. Commit to the Lord. Commit your ways to Him. Commit your life to Him. Empty yourself. Open up. Come just as you are. And empty everything and give to the Lord. Then after that, graciously, graciously, you give, and you give bountifully. You give out of the richness of your heart that understands the Lord gave Himself for me to have me in His position. Hallelujah. Bow your heads as we pray. Thank you, Father, you're worthy to be praised. I want you to take a moment to say a word of prayer about what you have heard this afternoon. And I want you to make a sincere commitment to God. A sincere commitment to God. I announce to you that the God whom we serve is present here. And He has listening ears to all that we speak. He sees and knows intentions of the heart. Yield yourself to Him. Make up your mind to be one who is committed to this grace of giving also. Make up your mind to have a bountiful account of giving. Thank you, God. And Father, I worship and I praise you for the reality of your truth, for the simplicity of your word and your truth. I pray, oh God, for every hearer of the word, that they will commit to be doers of the word and the work, as they commit to be to giving bountifully. They have testimonies abounding to show forth the praise of your name at every instance, and to show how you meet their need and you expand and enlarge their coasts and give opportunity for them to give more and to live righteously in this dark and terrible world. Thank you, Lord God, as we yield to you. Have full control. We glorify you. We worship you. We honor you. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. As we're sitting, we'll just pray for those who had their birthdays during the week. If you had your birthday during the week, can you come to the front? I also know Chioma Wednesday.